its current state on WKAR. For 125 years, National Geographic has documented the world and all that's in it with stunning photography and images that capture the soul of a story. Some of the most powerful and impactful stories of the past decade have been produced by a new generation of female photojournalists. Women of Vision, currently on exhibit at the Cranbrook Institute of Science, features the work of 11 photographers, from the last great wildernesses of Africa to the lives of people of the Arctic to the Jersey Shore. Their stories explore modern realities and what it means to be human in the 21st century. Dr. Kirk Heinze of WKAR AM 870's MSU Today spoke with Cranbrook Institute of Science Director Michael Stafford about Women of Vision and why he considers the exhibit a career highlight.
Well, it's a one of a kind kind of one-time opportunity. Women of Vision is produced by the National Geographic Society in celebration of their 125th anniversary. And the show is, as you mentioned, comprised of photography. It is the very best photojournalism taken by female photojournalists who work for Nat Geo over the last 15 years. And there's more than 100 images. If you're a reader of National Geographic magazine, you would recognize some, although not all of the images actually made it into print. It's curated by Elizabeth Trist, who is the senior photo editor at National Geographic. And what I'm really proud of is we're one of only 8 venues nationally that are hosting the show. And it actually came to us courtesy of our friends at PNC Bank, who are the national sponsors of the exhibition. And it's just shy of about 6,000 square feet. It's a stunning, gorgeous, engaging show. So anxious to get you down to see it, Kirk, as a matter of fact, as well as your listeners.
Can you give our listeners a sort of an audio snapshot of some of the images that they might see?
Certainly. What we've done is we've created, in essence, 11 freestanding galleries, one for each of the photojournalists. And all of them have different interests. Some are very focused on wildlife, so there's a gallery that has imagery from Africa, from the Americas. It's very much focused on wildlife and the natural world. Several of the photographers focus on social justice issues. Maggie Stuber, who joined us weeks ago here in the Detroit area, has a particular focus on hunger. And has spent much of her professional life in more than 30 trips to Haiti, as a matter of fact. There's images from Afghanistan. There's images from the East Coast of the United States, focusing on the traditional societies up in the area of New England. It's just visually stunning. And the images, by the way, these are not little postage stamps on the wall. Some of the images that you'll see are, 5 to 6 feet high and almost equally wide. It's very dramatically lit. We did an install that almost makes our large changing hall at the Institute of Science look like an art museum. The images touch people. They connect with issues of the day. They connect emotionally. It's just an absolutely stunning show, and it's a great show for visitors of all ages.
It's amazing to see in the last 10 years the number. I mean, National Geographic has really stepped up in terms of hiring women to do these around the world types and around the United States types of shoots where, maybe 20 or 30 years ago that wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And one thing you'll hear several of the participants in the show, we had Jody Cobb at the Institute of Science a couple weeks ago for the opening. Jody is one of the featured photographers. And now, Jody talks a lot about the fact that several, in fact, many of the images in the show probably couldn't have been taken by a man. Interestingly, female photojournalists can get into areas and get engaged in dialogue that in most cases a man probably couldn't. And just as an extension to your comment, our hope for the show is also to help young women, high school in particular, high school and under, recognize that there are careers not only in photojournalism but also in the sciences, be they be they social science, social scientists like myself, or hard science, that these fields are accessible to them. And if the Women of Vision show helps spark that inspiration and trigger that realization, we think it's a win all the way around.
And that, Mike, reminds me of the last time we talked about some of your outreach activities. I know that you have a major outreach presence in Flint and other urban areas to do just what you talked about.
Yeah, we do indeed. We are the supplemental science provider for Detroit Public Schools. Last year, we were able to offer programming at the Institute and through outreach, as well as professional development for teachers to every seventh grade child in the Detroit Public School District. Our friends at the Mott Foundation in Flint and the Flint, the Community Foundation for Greater Flint, have made it possible for us to do similar work in that community. Also in Pontiac, Hamtramck, Southfield, we aspire to be a service vehicle for districts statewide. As a matter of fact, we're up in Saginaw Bay City, Midland, with our ongoing work on environmental science, teaching freshwater science. It's something that we feel very strongly about, and it's a program actually that's grown on average of about 15% annually in terms of the number of young people and families that we serve. So something I'm very proud of.
Mike, we were talking about your fantastic Women of Vision exhibition at the Institute of Science. Tell our listeners a little bit about how long it's going to be there and how can they see it?
Well, it's really easy and it's widely accessible, Kirk. The show is going to stay open until the 30th of December. So listeners have pretty much all fall to come and visit. The Institute is open 6 days a week. We are closed on Mondays. We are open from 10 to 5 throughout the week and then 10 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. There is no additional charge beyond basic admission to come to the Women of Vision show. And for listeners that would like driving directions and information about additional activities going on, you can just climb on our website, science.cranbrook.edu. And it's all right there in one spot. We try to make it very easy.
Well, Mike, speaking of your website, you have a feature on your website called Freshwater Forum. It's no secret that water is much in the news these days and will continue to be so. The whole interface of water and energy and climate, et cetera, is going to be at the forefront for decades to come. Tell us a little bit about this amazing educational program that you have called Freshwater Forum.
Well, Kirk, I'm grateful you'd ask because it's one of our absolute shining star initiatives that started about 6 years ago, actually. The senior team and the board at Cranbrook were really thinking about what the next 10 to 20 years held for the Cranbrook Institute of Science. And we made a conscious decision to align ourselves with the critical issues of the day that impact all of us as stakeholders right here in the Great Lakes, but also as global citizens. And you're very right. Probably the greatest frontier right now is fresh water. Not just here in the Great Lakes, but also in a global sense. So the Institute being an entity that has a longstanding tradition for education, both K-12 and for the public, started an initiative called the Freshwater Forum. And to date, this special program has touched more than 60,000 K-12 learners statewide. We have an outreach program called Water on the Go. That was started by the DTE Energy Foundation and is now funded in addition by the Consumers Energy Foundation that goes to middle schools around the state and helps connect to these young citizen stakeholders to the impact their daily actions have upon the environmental health of the Great Lakes watershed. Additionally, we do teacher training. We're involved in a series of water festivals around the state of Michigan. The Muskegon Water Festival was held just about 2 weeks ago. The Detroit Riverfront Water Fest, the Rouge River Water Festival was here. If your listeners would like to learn more, you can go to cranbrookfreshwaterforum.org. Again, that's cranbrookfreshwaterforum.org. There's a freestanding site that outlines all of the various programs, accomplishments and upcoming opportunities to get involved with our freshwater efforts. So And I'm grateful you asked. It's something I'm very passionate about. It's a big part of Cranbrook's world these days.
Well, I spent some time on that site getting ready for this interview, the Water on the Go program. These kids can actually see blue pins on a map where their schools, the schools that are involved, are located. Then you've got green pins for images of rivers and streams and what have you. But one really great feature, what can I do as a young person to help mitigate some of the problems we have with water management and use? And what are some of those lessons and messages that Cranbrook hopes to get out to teachers and students with respect to their own stewardship, Mike?
Yeah, probably the biggest one is that, you know, you may live in a community that's not on a coastline in the Great Lakes. You know, I come from Greenville, Michigan, which is a little northeast of Grand Rapids, and we're more than an hour from the lakeshore. And probably the biggest message we would like people to take away is that even though you can't see the Great Lakes necessarily, everything you do in your own local water should be making a decision not to use motor oil in the storm sewer. Everything you do will impact what happens in the Great Lakes. So I'm always fond of saying, you know, if we throw, you know, high nitrate or phosphate fertilizer on our yards here in Clarkston, where I live, ultimately it's going to impact the health of the Great Lakes around Beaver Island. So we want to help people understand that you're part of a very complex system. We all have a responsibility to think about what we do every day, every decision that we make. And we need to recognize that those decisions have impacts and outcomes for all of us who live in the Great Lakes and beyond.
And it sounds like this program has really been resonating with teachers and young people. Don't you find, Mike, how amazing it is, how interested younger people are in sustainability, things that maybe your generation, my generation, didn't really think about when we were growing up?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. You know, I'm turning 50 this year. I'll just share with you, and you know, so when I was a teenager growing up in Greenville, we never thought about recycling or again how we treated our landscape or the decisions we made regarding what we chose to throw away rather than reuse. The younger set, my children, spent a lot more time focused and thinking about those kinds of actions than I ever did. And, you know, part of the forum's work also is to retrain those of us who are the old dogs, right, to help the 50s and up really understand their impact as well. I think we can learn a lot from our kids if you want the truth. So, the forum is the vehicle that we do that through, and again, one of which we're very proud of.